Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Bernice Bennett, and joining me today is Freddie Williams Evans for a discussion about the forced migration from Bertie County, North Carolina, to Madison, Mississippi. Freddie Williams Evans is a native of Madison, Mississippi, located in Madison County, and resides in New Orleans. She is internationally recognized for her scholarship on historic Congo Square and is the author of Congo Square, African Roots in New Orleans, the first comprehensive study of the location, which received the 2012 Louisiana Humanities Book of the Year Award and is published in French. Her research and advocacy influenced the 2011 New Orleans City Council ordinance that made the popular name Congo Square the official name of the location. Evans is also the author of three picture books, Hush Harbor, Praying in the Secret, The Battle of New Orleans, The Drummer's Story, and A Bus of Our Own. So let me give a warm welcome to Freddie Williams Evans to the show. Welcome, Freddie.
Thank you. Thank you, Bernice, for this opportunity.
Well, Freddie, I am really looking forward to you sharing what you know about the forced migration from Bertie County, North Carolina, to Madison, Mississippi. So just give us some background information about Madison County, Mississippi.
Well, as you mentioned, Madison, Mississippi is located within Madison County. So there is a town and a county, and they are located in the central part of the city. Actually, Madison County is adjacent to Hinds County, which is where Jackson is, and that's the capital of Mississippi. So Madison County was originally populated by Native Americans, members of the Choctaw Nation. In 1820, representatives from the United States, Andrew Jackson and Thomas Hinds, collaborated or signed an agreement with a chief of the Choctaw Nation. His name was Chief Pushmataha. And that document, that treaty, was known as the Treaty of Doak Stand, D-O-A-K-apostrophe-S. And that happened in 1820. So that allowed then the opportunity for white planters to infiltrate, so to speak, the area, to migrate into the area to set up their plantations. And there were numerous planters who migrated from Bertie County, North Carolina, to the location, to Madison County, to Madison, Mississippi particularly. But there are other locations within Madison County where planters from that area, as well as from parts of South Carolina, migrated as well. One of the first planters and one of the earliest ones was John Johnstone. Actually, he migrated the same year the treaty was passed, and that was in 1820. Now, of course, they did not come alone, the planters, meaning the planters. John Johnston brought along with him his body servant, who was my third-great-grandfather. His name was March. Now, Marge was not a child because he was a body servant. He was a personal attendant. So he was not an infant or even a young child. He was at best a teenager of some age and ability. But that means that he also knew his family. He knew from whence he came. He knew his home. And upon emancipation, luckily for my family, for us, he assumed the name of his family in North Carolina. And this is where my story begins, with March.
So let's go back for a second, because you mentioned John Johnston, the white planter who migrated to Madison. But tell us, what kind of documentation did you find on this planter to find your ancestor, March?
Yes. So there's quite a bit of documentation, because John Johnstone, and his name is spelled John Johnstone, many times you see a John Johnson, was a wealthy person. And he actually passed quite early, but his wife, Margaret Johnstone, assumed a lot of his legacy. She ended up building this beautiful mansion called Annandale. She also built Chapel of the Cross, which is still standing. It's now an Episcopalian church, may have always been Episcopalian. And she built it in honor of John Johnstone. So we have records from the plantation. We have records from the church. We have records of his journey, of his estate. In the state archives, there are. I've used Freedmen records from the Freedmen's Bureau. I've used WPA records from the county itself. So there are documents on many, many levels that I have used to confirm this. Census reports and on and on.
Well, for those of you that are looking at the rotating billboard, you have a document up there, and it's entitled Negroes Belonging to Johnston, and it was 1842. Tell us about that document.
Yeah. So John Johnston also came with two of his brothers. So one of them was named Samuel. This is a list of enslaved people who belonged to Samuel Johnston, and you see that it's dated 1842. Now, although the elders, John Johnston and his brothers, arrived in 1820, they did not bring their families and large numbers of enslaved people until the 40s. And this list shows by 1842, these people were here. And on this list is Winnie. So in the middle column, let's see, you have about 9 or 10 from the bottom. You see the name Winnie. Winnie ended in a relationship with March. So Winnie and March became a couple, and they were my great-great-great-third-great grandparents. But in this case, Winnie belonged to John Johnston, and March belonged to John, no, Winnie belonged to Samuel, and March belonged to John and Margaret. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So we see
so
that.
So let me take you back for a second. You mentioned the treaty. You mentioned that the migration took place. So what was in Madison prior to the migration?
There were Native Americans and their habitat and their land. They inhabited the land that was really Choctaw country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the treaty, and there are a lot of details. Some of the Native Americans did remain, but the majority of them left. They were pushed out along, I don't know if it would be called formally the Trail of Tears, but it would have been a Trail of Tears that they encountered on their way to their new homeland. But this was ancestral land of the Native Americans of the Choctaw Nation.
And then you mentioned the surname Bazemores. Tell me more about that surname and what you're finding out about this Bazemore family or families.
Yes, well, I am so, so thankful that Marge did take on his family name. because we hear so much about enslaved people upon emancipation taking the names of their current landholder, slaveholders. And that is true, mm-hmm. and that has happened a lot in this case. And it's also true, I have to say, before I talk to you more about the Bazemore name, is that this was not the first family that drew me to this research. So Marge is on my father's side. He's my maternal great-great ancestors. But my maternal, my mom's people were also brought from Berkeley County, North Carolina, and they were the people who I first started researching. And it was with the help of people who were also researching these families, Nettie and Nesberry and her twin sister Letty out of Chicago, those people who are really, really familiar with the genealogy world may know them because they have been on this show a long, long time. But their people were also enslaved by Noah Hinton, who purchased land from John Johnson in later years. Because as John Johnson had purchased so much land during his initial time there, and as one of the first in that area, he sold land to people who came later on. And so, mm-hmm. thankfully, they left crumbs for us to follow, you know, so to speak. They left this information for us to act upon. And upon emancipation, my other family, the Cottons, also took names from people or from their family in North Carolina. So this then has enabled us to reach out to people in Berkeley County. What I have found out is that there are numerous, numerous Bazemores still in Berkeley County, North Carolina. And I see names on my DNA list, my match list, who are Bazemores. And this means white as well as black Bazemores. And I realized that everybody didn't still keep the name Bazemores because of marriage and marriage and marriage. So there are people who are not even Bazemores who are on my list, and I'm sure that they are connecting to me or connected to me through this relationship from Berkeley County, North Carolina. So my goal then is to make these connections, to reach back. I have done a lot of research in Madison, and now I need to head to Berkeley County to establish those connections.
Well, you actually stimulated my interest even more. I mean, I've talked to Marvin Jones about Berkeley County and the information that he has on the Chuan discovery, but when you started talking to me about the Bazemores, I looked at my DNA and discovered I'm also connecting to the Bazemore families. And then to say that Madison is close to Hinds, well, my great-grandmother is from Hinds County, Mississippi. So you really have, you know, stimulated me in a way that I need to also reach out and find out more information and share that information with you. But when you mentioned Noah B. Hinton, how many enslaved people did Noah B. Hinton bring to Madison?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because what has come apparent to me is that he brought a whole community with him. He brought 120 enslaved people at one time, and there were people who had left in Berkeley County. So you think about culture being transformed or transferred from one location to another. You're thinking about cooking traditions and food and food ways and music and religious practices, all kinds of folklore, religious beliefs. And so, you know, it makes you think, what else is connecting the two locations other than people? I mean, there may be so much more. And as I conducted research and as I think about family names that I knew when I grew up in Madison, I see more and more names and more indications, like Pugh, P-U-H, P-U-G-H.
Mm-hmm.
That's a name that was prevalent in Madison as I grew up, but it is also prevalent in Berkeley County, Thompson. So the research is really just at the surface. There's so much more, and I just invite other people who are interested in pursuing this, even if they don't know that their family members may have been brought. We didn't come. We were brought. It was forced from Berkeley County into Madison County. You know, join me. collaborate with us. And there is another young lady who, as I pursue this research, I find more and more relatives. And one of them is Rosie Riley, who was looking for her Uncle March before I even realized that March was my ancestor also. And I'm talking to her, and she's saying, well, he did this. And I said, okay, this is wonderful. You know, if ever I run across anything, I'll let you know. And during my research, and you'll have on here on the rolling screen the death certificate from my great-grandmother. So when I discovered her death certificate, her parents were listed as Bazemores. That was my revelation. Mm. This is when I first started looking into this, and I had to call Rosie and said, Rosie, we have to talk. We have to meet. I have to show something to you. And when we sat down, I said, we're related. We have the same ancestors. You were looking for who I should have been looking for, but I didn't know, you know, that we were related at that time. So I just invite people to join me, and you will be one of them to join me as we look for.
I look forward. But you mentioned Nettie, and how did you connect with Nettie and Letty to find that you were perhaps looking at some of the same people, or you were in the same area in Madison?
So I have to also give credit to this master genealogist, Warren Jones. When Warren and I talked one night about, you know, my genealogy quest for my maternal parents and my maternal ancestors, these were the ones who Nora Hinton brought in. He said, well, why don't you just put up on Ancestry.com the question, does anyone know of any relatives or ancestors who were also enslaved on the Hinton plantation, Noah B. Hinton? In no time, Nettie responded. And in no time, I called her. I couldn't even wait for her. I found her phone number. Just Google. Anyway, I shouldn't say that because I don't want people calling me after the book. But anyway, within 20 minutes, we were saying cousins to each other. And we collaborated. We came together. She came to New Orleans, and then we took a sojourn to Mississippi, and we had like a 5-day planned itinerary. We went to the archives one day. We went to the courthouse one day. We went to sign descendants of the slaveholders one day. And we went to meet with a docent one day. So we just had a really, really rich journey, so to speak, sojourn of looking at places. And we had talked about this before, of course, and mapped it out. And that's what we'll have to do when we make this sojourn to Bertie County as well.
Right. And, you know, one of the values, and I'm really happy that you agreed to come on the show, is that we have opportunity to network and spread the word that you are searching. And those that are also searching, they should contact you. So how can they contact you?
They can contact me through my email. They can Google me, Freddie Williams Evans. I have a website. And they'll find my contact information on my website, Freddie Williams Evans.
Okay. And do you have any additional information you'd like to share with us? Anything else about the rotating billboard? Or just, hey, what else should people be thinking of when they're trying to go on this journey? Just anything else you feel would be helpful to those who are also seeking out an ancestor just as you found yours?
Well, I would encourage people to look at the census reports, because that's another document that's on the billboard. I have the census for March Bazemore from 1870, and listed on that census is my great-grandmother, Violet Bazemore. And that opened up a lot of information to me, just the name itself, because Violet has remained, that name has remained in the family. And then also saw Rachel. And this is how we were able to see the relationship between Rosie's ancestors. I mentioned Rosie Riley, who was also looking for Mark. And so her great-grandmother is listed here, maybe her great-great-grandmother. But census reports are so important. And then I have also on the rotating screen. Another way to look at the census, this is the actual documentation. I have it highlighted in yellow. The very first line shows Marsh Bazemore. But I think something there is so interesting to me. You see 100, and let's see, maybe the after his name and the title that he had, domestic servant, you see 100. And you don't see that in any other column. That was the amount of his personal estate. So it's interesting to me that he had $100, but then, you know, he was a body servant and a coachman.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to look more into what could have been his personal estate to value that amount. Was it cash only, or was it something else that he may have acquired somewhere along the line? It wasn't
and
real estate.
That's interesting.
The column next to it would have been where the real estate would have been listed. But
And that census also mentioned North Carolina.
Yes, exactly. For Winnie, too, do you see right under March is Winnie. Winnie pointed out her name on the list of enslaved people who were held by Samuel Johnson. And that was in 1842. But Winnie, again, was born in North Carolina. So that's in keeping with that report. And then the children,
just out of curiosity, what took you to Samuel Johnson and John Johnston? What was it?
It was the Bazemores because, it was March.
Okay.
Because I knew March was owned by the Johnsons, so I wanted to look at all of the relatives. And we don't, when you're doing genealogy, you look at everybody around that central person in the circle, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at Samuel because it's related to John, and then I'll look at William or whomever else, and I'll look at all of Margaret's relatives as well. Margaret was the wife of John, but I cannot isolate all of them. And when I did that, or when you do that, you'll find that they're all related in some way, whether it's blood or just the church relations. We have to look at the church that they came out of in North Carolina and Bertie County. We're going to find a lot of connections that we already have in that church. So we have to look at the whole person and all of their relatives around them.
Well, this is just a fascinating research, a wonderful journey that you're going on. I know you're going to find even more information to share with everyone. And so I'm going to close out. Any final closing remarks before I close out the show?
Well, my remarks would be to please connect with me if you are interested in, or if you think that your relatives may have also been brought from Berkeley County to Madison County or vice versa. And if you're in North Carolina, I'm working with a genealogy specialist, Dr. Ben Speller, and he's really working to help us connect. So we had actually planned to hold a genealogy fair this summer that focused on the connection between the two locations. But, of course, because of COVID-19, we can't do it. So now we would hope to resume these plans for next summer. And it would be wonderful over the year if we can really build up this coalition of people, this interest. So if you're interested and you're in that area, please reach out to Dr. Ben Speller, or you can reach out to me as well. But I know that he's working from that side to help us make these connections.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Freddie, for joining me today. And everyone else, I want you to also check out my book, Tracing Their Steps, a memoir, Bernice Alexander Bennett, on Amazon. And this book is about my journey to find land that my grandmother told me that her grandfather owned in Livingston Parish, Louisiana. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. Thank you, Freddie, for joining me today. Bye.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.